A remote hearing of the Capital Investment Committee for April 12th is called to order. This remote hearing is taking place in accordance to House Rule 10.01 and is being live streamed by the House Public Information Office. Mr. Lanchesky, please take the roll.
Representative Fooley.
Lee, present.
Representative Fooley, present. Representative Mary Murphy.
Murphy, present.
Representative Mary Murphy, present. Representative Dean Erdahl.
Erdahl, present.
Representative Dean Erdahl, present. Representative Esther Abaje.
Present.
Representative Esther Abaje, present. Representative Kayla Berg.
Present.
Representative Kayla Berg, present. Representative Greg Davids.
Davids, present.
Representative Greg Davids, present. Representative Keith Franke.
Franke, present.
Representative Keith Franke, present. Representative Mike Freiberg.
Present.
Representative Mike Freiberg, present. Representative Rick Hansen. Representative Rick Hansen. Representative John Hewitt.
Hewitt, present.
Representative John Hewitt, present. Representative Leon Lilly.
Lilly, present.
Representative Leon Lilly, present. Representative Eric Lucero.
Another melancholy rainy Monday.
Representative Eric Lucero, present. Representative Rena Moran. Representative Rena Moran. Representative Nels Pearson.
Pearson, present.
Representative Nels Pearson, present. Representative Donald Raleigh.
Raleigh, present.
Representative Donald Raleigh, present. Representative Jordan Rasmussen.
Rasmussen, present.
Representative Jordan Rasmussen, present. Representative Liz Ryer.
Present.
Representative Liz Ryer, present. Representative Nolan West.
Present.
Representative Nolan West, present. Representative Jay Zhang.
Here.
Representative Jay Zhang, present. Representative Rick Hansen. Representative Rena Moran. Members, with the conclusion of the roll call, please mute your devices. A quorum is present.
Thank you, Mr. Lanchesky. A quorum is present. Chair Murphy, do I have a motion to approve the minutes for April 8th?
Mr. Chair, I move approval of the minutes for April 8th as printed.
Chair Murphy, move approval of the minutes for April 8th. Any discussion? Hearing none, those in favor say aye.
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 Those opposed say nay. The motion prevails and the minutes for April 8th are approved. Members, today we will get a walkthrough of the spreadsheet and DE amendment to House File 337, the 2021 Omnibus Bonding Bill. A lot of work has been put into putting this bill together with over 24 hearings in the House. And as you know, we have not had any light agendas. I really appreciate all of you and your testifiers for working with us to be within the 5-minute time limit that we have established. As you know, we all have heard, we have had discussion on some complex and challenging subjects and how they intersect with our job of constructing a bonding bill for 2021. And so today's agenda will start with Mr. Andrew Lee providing a walkthrough of the spreadsheet to the DE amendment. And then we will have Ms. Chelsea Griffin walk through the language of the proposal. So please identify yourself for the record, Mr. Lee, and please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. My name is Andrew Lee from House Fiscal Staff. I'll walk through the appropriations tracking spreadsheet first, and members should have received this. It is the portrait size or portrait formatted spreadsheet that has a list of the projects that are in the bill. This follows generally the order of the appropriations language. So the first item is actually, I should ask, Mr. Chair, would you like me to share screen or just go through the spreadsheet and allow people to follow?
Please share screen if possible.
Okay. All right. Give me just a moment. All right. So hopefully you can all see the spreadsheet.
Please proceed, Mr. Lee.
Great. So the first item is on line 6, and that's $32 million in GO bonds for the Higher Education Asset Preservation for the University of Minnesota. followed on line 11 by $32 million in GO bonds for asset preservation for Minnesota State. And then on line 16, $3.15 million for library construction grants under the Department of Education. Then under Minnesota State Academies, for asset preservation in GO bonds, $1.224 million. For Purpich Center for the Arts, for asset preservation, $1.5 million, and that's on line 26 in GO bonds. Then under the Department of Natural Resources, starting on line 31, for GO bonds, $27 million for asset preservation, followed on line 32, flood hazard mitigation grants at $2 million, and then $3.6 million for state forest nursery facilities in Bedora. And then on line 34, $5 million in GO bonds for state forest reforestation, $4 million in GO bonds for scientific and natural areas on line 35, $4.8 million for state trail maintenance, $7 million for natural resources betterment of buildings. The last item under DNR is a $250,000 general fund appropriation for the Upper Sioux Agency State Park bond defeasance. Then moving on to the next page, under the Board of Water and Soil Resources, $14.307 million in GO bonds for the Conservation Reserve Enhancement Program. Under the Minnesota Zoo, for asset preservation, $3.5 million, and then in GO bonds, and then also in GO bonds for the Animal Hospital, $5 million, and $4 million for the Nocturnal Trail, also GO bonds. Under the Department of Administration, CAPRA, or Capital Asset Preservation and Replacement Account, $3.133 million, you can find that on line 37. Then $31 million for capital complex security upgrades, and this is the GO portion. There's also $12 million in general fund. And then the RAMP F shift from user financing for the fiscal year 2020 payment for debt service. This is a cost of $1 million. $86,000, and it's not found in the appropriations language, but it's rather one of the last policy items in the policy article. Then on line 61, $5 million for the State Building Energy Conservation Revolving Loan Fund. And then for Amateur Sports Commission, $3.5 million for the Mighty Ducks Grant Program. Moving on to MnDOT, starting on line 73, $10 million for the Local Road Improvement Fund, $30 million for the Local Bridge Replacement Program, $8 million for Safe Routes to School, $4 million for Port Development Assistance, and $25.5 million for the Passenger Rail Program. Then moving on to the Metropolitan Council, starting on line 84, $15 million for inflow and infiltration grants. Then under Metropolitan Parks and Trails, there are two items. There's a rider specific to one. For the undesignated program, $7.5 million, and then a rider specifying that of the total amount of $11.5 million, $4 million is for pedestrian safety along the Mississippi River Recreation Area. Then on line 89, also to the Metropolitan Council for GO bonds, $40 million for the E line of the ABRT projects. Then on line 90 from the general fund, $1 million for electric transit vehicle infrastructure. On line 93, $1.2 million for the City of St. Paul Como Zoo asset preservation. Then moving to the Department of Human Services, for asset preservation for GO bonds, $2.213 million, and that's on line 100. $8.85 million for MSOP St. Peter, phase two. $10 million for the early childhood learning and child protection facilities, that's on line 102. Then moving on to the Department of Veterans Affairs, $4 million for asset preservation in GO bonds, $4.5 million for the Redwood Falls Cemetery. Then moving on to corrections, two items. The first is a GO amount of $8.445 million for asset preservation, and then a general fund appropriation for a jail capital improvement evaluation report, $675,000. Moving on to the Department of Employment and Economic Development, $5 million for Greater Minnesota Child Care Facilities and GO bonds. That's on line 121. Then on line 124, $1.2 million for the City of Duluth Lake Superior Zoo. Moving on to the Public Facilities Authority, $15 million for the Wastewater Infrastructure Funding Grant Programs. And this is a combination of two programs with half each, $7.5 million for wastewater projects and $7.5 million for drinking water projects. Moving down to the Housing Finance Agency or Authority on line 136 for public housing rehabilitation, $100 million. On line 141 for the Historical Society asset preservation, $2,375,000. And then as part of the bond sale expenses for Minnesota Management Budget to issue debt, $503,000 in GO bonds. Moving on to the next article, starting with the Metropolitan Council, and this is all, these are all general fund items. On line 154, $1.2 million to the Metropolitan Council and a grant to the City of St. Paul for the Walk-On TP Center. Then under the Department of Employment and Economic Development, $1 million in general fund for the African Economic Development Solutions in St. Paul, $1.5 million for 30,000 Feet Black Art Center in St. Paul, $950,000 for the Latino Economic Development Center in St. Paul, $300,000 for the Eastside Freedom Library in St. Paul, $300,000 for Keystone Community Services in Ramsey County, and this is a part of a number of food bank items, $300,000 for the Southern Anoka Community Assistance, $300,000 for 360 communities in Dakota, there are 360 communities, which is in Dakota County, and then $300,000 for community pathways in Steele County. Then $1 million, and these are all general fund, in Funny Asian Women's Collective Arts Center in St. Paul, $2 million for the Leech Lake Band of Ojibwe Veterans Building, $850,000 for the Mercado Central in Minneapolis, $1 million for the Native American Community Clinic in Minneapolis, $789,000 for the Minneapolis Regional Apprenticeship Center at Northgate, called Northgate, $1 million for the City of South St. Paul Meat Processing Redevelopment, $1.2 million for the Youth Mental Health and Wellness Center in Minneapolis, and $1 million for the New American Center for Health Workforce in Minneapolis. Then moving on to the appropriation bonds article, $300 million for appropriation bonds for redevelopment in Minneapolis and St. Paul. Of that, $200 million is for the City of Minneapolis, and $100 million is a grant to the St. Paul Housing and Redevelopment Authority. And then $150,000 in housing infrastructure bonds, and you can find this on line 186. And then $50 million in shelter appropriation bonds, of which $40 million is undesignated, and there's a rider for $10 million for Simpson Housing Services in Minneapolis. So the totals can be found on the table from line 194, the grand total of $1.3 billion in spending authorization, of which $500 million is general obligation bonds. And $500 million is appropriation bonds, and $30 million is one-time cash spending. And then, Chair and members, I hope you can see the other sheet. This is the summary of the debt service. The estimated increase in debt service for the GO portion, or $500 million in GO bonds, is $22.655 million over base for GO debt service, and that's on line 14. Then for the MHFA authorizations on line 16 and 17, those debt service amounts start in the tails at $18 million and $6 million for the tails biennium. And then for the appropriation bond for Minneapolis and St. Paul at $300 million, the total biennial cost is $41.836 million in both biennia. For one-time appropriations, as mentioned earlier, $30 million. With a total above base spending in debt service and one-time spending for the upcoming biennium at $94.491 million. And with that, I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Lee. Members, do you have any questions for Mr. Andy Lee before we move on to the language from Ms. Griffin? Okay, seeing none, Ms. Griffin, please identify yourself for the record and proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. For the record, my name is Chelsea Griffin and I'm with House Research. I'll be walking you through the language in Articles 2 and 4 since Mr. Lee covered the appropriations that are in Article 1 and Article 3. So beginning with Article 2, this is the Appropriation and Housing Infrastructure Bonds article. Sections 1 and 2 cover redevelopment appropriation bonds. Like Mr. Lee said in the walkthrough of the spreadsheet, $200 million of the $300 million appropriation bonds would be to the city of Minneapolis, and $100 million would be to the city of St. Paul. The language does specify that certain grant requirements must be met, and a report is due to the legislature by deed to detail the uses of the funds and any measures of success toward the grant requirement goals. Section 3 adds a definition of naturally occurring affordable housing to the housing infrastructure bond statute for purposes of the housing infrastructure bonds. Section 4 adds the financing of low-income multifamily rental housing and naturally occurring affordable housing to the authorized uses of housing infrastructure bonds. Section 5 authorizes $150 million of housing infrastructure bonds to be issued by the Minnesota Housing Finance Agency. Section 6 adds an additional appropriation for the debt service on the $150 million of authorized housing infrastructure bonds. Section 7 is an uncodified provision that authorizes Minnesota Housing Finance Agency to issue $50 million of housing infrastructure bonds for shelter facilities in fiscal year 2022. As Mr. Lee pointed out, $10 million of the authorization is to be granted to Simpson Housing Services, which is a nonprofit for shelter facilities in the city of Minneapolis. And then Section 8 of Article 2 is the blanket effective date. All sections in Article 2 are effective the day following final enactment. But Mr. Lee covered the equity appropriations in Article 3, so I won't be going over the details of the riders in that article. And moving on to Article 4, this is the miscellaneous article. The vast majority of this article is modifications to prior appropriations. So several of the hearings of the Capital Investment Committee this year were dedicated to listening to provisions for these modifications. And if you look at the summary, those modifications are articulated in the Article 4 section. I will point out the provisions that aren't modifications in this article though. Section 1 and Section 42, these sections are related. So Section 1 requires Minnesota Management and Budget in consultation with the Department of Corrections to include an evaluation of the need for capital improvements relating to jail facilities based on a county jail study and report that would be submitted to the legislature by the Department of Corrections in 2022. So the article or the Section 42 language then is the regional and county jail study and report. So this requires the Commissioner of Corrections to study and make recommendations on the consolidation or merger of county jails and alternatives to incarceration for persons experiencing mental health disorders. The commissioner must consult with public and local government officials and administrators on the study and recommendations. And a report is due to the legislature on or before December 1st of 2022 with information on a variety of metrics and recommendations relating to county jail facilities. Section 2 of Article 4 is the language for the State Building Energy Conservation Revolving Loan Fund. The appropriation for this is in Article 1 and a rider, but the actual language for the loan is located here. And this establishes a State Building Energy Conservation Revolving Loan Fund for the purpose of implementing energy conservation improvements in state buildings. And the fund would be managed and administered by the Commissioner of Administration. Section 3 requires the Sustainable Building 2030 guidelines to establish resiliency guidelines to encourage design that allows buildings to adapt to and accommodate projected climate-related changes. Section 44 is the state parking account. So this waives the requirement for the state parking account to make a transfer to the state bond fund. And then Section 45 is the repealer, and this repeals the Minnesota Pay for Performance Act of 2011. Mr. Chair, that concludes the walkthrough of the bill. I'm happy to take any questions.
Oh, thank you, Ms. Griffin. Members, do you have any questions for Ms. Griffin? And so I do want to thank you, Ms. Griffin. I do want to note for members too that we do have staff from the different agencies here to answer any technical questions if you have any questions for them. So seeing no questions, I will provide just some closing comments before we adjourn for the day then. And so I just want to say thank you all to members and everyone for working with us and really vetting these projects as, Representative Erdahl, why don't you go first then? Representative Erdahl, go ahead.
Takes me a while to unmute everything here. Well, thank you, Chair Lee. And first of all, I want to thank you for the work that you've done on this bill. I'm not saying that I agree with a whole lot of it, but I want to thank you for the work you've done. As I've indicated to you, I think, before, the House Republican Caucus will not be supporting any bonding until we have separated the corrections and modification bill from the bill that you have now presented. The modification, those items in there have already been voted on in October. They've already passed. The projects are waiting to do. Now, what happens here, assuming Friday that this bill passes the way it currently is compiled, it's going to go to Ways and Means, and it's going to sit there. There are things that are still up in the air. And so I don't know how long. It could be till the middle of May before that bill moves. And in the meantime, these projects that have already passed and they could be starting work on them are just sitting there. And keeping them together then also runs the risk that, what if we don't get a bill done? That's that does happen sometimes, especially the first year of the biennium. And that could mean that bills that passed in October now with corrections being made aren't becoming law, and that's unacceptable. If there are other changes that need to be made after the corrections bill is passed, that can be added to the bill and considered later. But I just want you to understand, Mr. Chairman, that we are very adamant that we've got to get these corrections and modifications out the door and into law. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Erdahl, and thank you, members, again. And, I've mentioned in our previous conversation, too, that, I am committed to working with the minority caucus in the committee and, the entire House and then, for our colleagues in the Senate to get a proposal out. And so, we are doing our job, like I've mentioned at the very beginning, that this is our 25th hearing here in the House. And so I understand the great need of those projects that have been passed in the October bonding bill with Chair Murphy. And so that's why, we're doing our job right here to come up with a proposal to move it along the legislative process. And it is my hope that, we can continue to work together to move this forward. And members, as you have seen in the proposal, we have projects in here that will be able to help us leverage some federal dollars. For example, we have the RIM, the CREP program, we have the passenger rail and, affordable housing and the Redwoods Falls Cemetery. We also are, taking care of some of our most vulnerable Minnesotans by providing funding for emergency shelters. To really help, provide our statewide access that it's really needed for our family members that are in public housing. We're putting in $100 million in there where this is, I believe, you know, one of our most significant investment into that. If we are able to get this through at that level, we also, you know, are investing in some of our youngest learner. We know that we have a proposal that have bipartisan support, you know, for the Greater Minnesota Early Learning Facilities. We also have dollars in there for the early child care facilities that serve the entire state. And so I'm really hopeful that, you know, we could continue to work to get this bill forward. We have significant investment in there for the environment and natural resources to help address the climate change impact that we are seeing statewide. And so putting in some dollars in there for forestation so that we can move towards that end. Also, you know, putting in EV infrastructure for transit buses is really needed. And so I appreciate all of you and the work that you have provided for us in the committee this year. Representative Lucero.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And just so I can make sure I am clear in my understanding, the items that you just ran down in the list, buses and childcare and all that, you know, housing stuff, is any of that at all linked, related, or contingent upon the bill of projects that was passed last October? I'm just trying to understand the relationship of the list that you just ran down and how it relates to the comments that Erdahl had brought up.
Thank you, Representative Lucero. And so as staff have indicated in the run through of the proposal, the modifications are in this proposal, along with what I have just said. You know, we know that we made a significant investment in the October bill, and we still have work to do to really, you know, utilize our financial situation right now with great AAA ratings, and then also, you know, some low interest rates right now. And so we should take advantage of that. And so this proposal includes the modifications and also some of the items that I have listed and that staff have went over today. Members, any additional questions before we adjourn? Chair Murphy? You're on mute right now, Chair Murphy.
Yes, I'm trying to get off. I'm trying to raise my hand. I'm trying. Mr. Chair, I just wanted to comment and thank you for your leadership on this and for your continued cooperation that started when you were vice chair of the bonding committee in 2020. And your cooperation. And this bill is the reaction of what happened after the 2020 bill was passed in October. And the 2020 bill grew considerably from May to October and with added projects. And one of the things that we found out in the 2020 bill was that the state agencies, especially DNR, transportation, had significant asset preservation things that were had not been addressed for years. And this bill that you have put before us is a modifications of bills of projects that were in the 2020 and the 2018 and the 2016, and maybe a couple bills even before that. It's making changes in past bills that would allow those projects to go forth. The main part of this bill is the modification bill with added asset preservation that was not addressed in the state agencies in the 2020 bill. And so there's no one bill added to another bill. This is one modification bill. And everything was not perfect, especially from August to October. And there's some projects that were not the language for the project with the dollars that were committed to the project has to be changed, and it has to be changed in this modification bill. But it's also addressing the state asset preservation that is sorely needed. The departments of all the departments of administration and natural resources and transportation and the other state agencies and state promises that have been made in the past. This isn't the 2021 bill or the 2022 bill that will be heard next year. This is the modification bill for the 2020 bill. And I urge everyone to vote yes, because that's what this bill is.
Thank you, Chair Murphy, for your comments. And so members, just so you have a foundation of what is ahead for us, our next meeting is Wednesday, April 14th at 1 p.m. for public testimony. For members of the public who are interested in signing up to testify, the deadline to sign up is tomorrow at 3 p.m. Please email Ms. Jenny Nash and Mr. Joel Lanchesky to get on the list. Written testimony will also be accepted. Our last meeting this week and possibly for the rest of session is on Friday, April 16th at 8:30, which we will then take up and vote on House File 337 and House File 506. A 24-hour amendment deadline is in place for the Friday's bill. And so with that, members, thank you so much for your participation today. And having no further business before us, this meeting is adjourned.